Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. And as you just heard, you know that this meeting is being recorded. We do place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. To begin with, I would share some helpful tips. Everyone joining through phone calls, if you'd like to unmute yourself, you can press star six. And if you press star six again, it will mute your speakers. If you would like to make some comments, you can virtually raise hands by pressing star nine. And star nine also lowers your virtual hands. If you're on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon. That will mute and unmute your voice. And if you go under reactions, click on the hand raise icon, that will raise and lower your virtual hands. And that indicates that somebody is intending to speak. And this also allows us to have one speaker at a time. At this point, as you can see, and you know that everyone is on mute. So thank you for keeping yourself on mute just to eliminate any external disturbance. Just to inform, we do have ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. I would request for everyone to state your name first before you make your comments. It helps them do their job well. Anyone on the phone who is joining the meeting through phones, it also helps them knowing who the speaker is at the moment. If any of the members of the public would like to make some comments, please let me know so that I can put you on the list. We do have a section later on in the agenda. It's called public comments. So if you do need to make some comments, let me know now. You can also inform through chat messages in this meeting, and you can also raise hands when we do begin that section. And we will just take the individuals in the order in the that we receive. Chair Semaphore, I can read the agenda and then roll call. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. So to begin with, after I read the agenda, we will take the roll call of the AAC members. After that, Chair Semaphore will go through the motion of reviewing the agenda for today's meeting and approving it, and also approving the meeting minutes from last month's meeting. After that, we will have customer service report, the outreach reports. We may not have those, but Ms. Anderson will give us update on that. At 4:15, we have Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. Rush Awards are also on that list, but those have been referred until the time we go back to the in-person meetings. At 4:25, we have Christopher Colbert to give us information about eligibility office location at the new DC headquarters, which is going to be by Lafont Plaza Metro Station. At 4:40, Mr. Blake and Chair Semaphore will discuss update on Metro Access sedans and vans procurement. At 4:45, we have an update about Metro Access fares. Again, Mr. Blake and Chair Semaphore will be the speakers for that topic. 4:50, we have Metro Access automated system adjustments, and Allison Anderson will give us information on that. At 5:05, we have a topic called update on Metro Access shared rights. Mr. Blake will discuss that. At 5:15, Mr. Blake and Chair Semaphore will discuss the topic questions about Abilities Ride Flex program. At 5:20, the topic is update on Metro Access navigation GPS system. Speakers are Mr. Blake and Vice Chair Rush. At 5:30, we have public comment section, and the meeting will adjourn at 6 p.m. At this point, I will go ahead and take the attendance of the AAC members. Please confirm your presence. so that I can have you marked appropriately. Elver Ariza Silva. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Melanie Jackson Henderson. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum.
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
I'm sorry?
Present.
Anthony Oberg. Phil Posner.
On Zoom.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. And Kelly Simona. All right, thank you everyone. That concludes the roster for today's meeting. At this point, Chair Semaphore, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, first thing we're going to do is the review of the agenda. As you can see, it has been amended and sent out to everybody. This is a fully packed agenda, so are there any other additions? Please let me know now. If not, I'm going to put the motion forth to approve the agenda as amended. Do I get any motion for that, please? All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. The motion carries to approve the agenda as amended. Next is the minutes from the prior meeting in January. Are there any changes, additions, suggestions? Hearing the crickets, I'm putting the motion forth to approve the minutes from January Metro Access Subcommittee meeting as is.
Second.
All right, all those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. Okay, we are going to approve the minutes from January Metro Access Subcommittee as is. Next is Customer Service and Outreach Reports. Ms. Anderson.
Good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Allison Anderson. I'm with the Office of Metro Access Service, and it is my pleasure to introduce Ms. Hillary Mitchell, the Quality Coordinator Supervisor with MTM, to give the report out on the public comment from our last session.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Again, my name is Hillary Mitchell, Quality Coordinator Supervisor for Metro Access. For the previous, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed for the previous meeting, January 3rd. For January 18th, we did have one comment. The committee member reported while using EasyPay automated system, enough time is not given for customers to input requested ID, password, and payment information. She was requesting Metro Access lengthening the input time within the system. Ms. Allison Anderson will be addressing this later on in the meeting under the Metro Access Automated Systems Adjustment.
All right. Thank you, Hillary, for that report out.
I also have the totals for the commendations for the month of January. For the month of January, we had a total of 203 accommodations. First Transit received 28 of those. Transdev, 53, that's 5-3. MVOCC received 36. Challenger Transportation received 30. Diamond Stamp Road in Virginia received 49. MTM received 1, the Eligibility Office received 3, and Abilities Ride received 3. That concludes the presentation.
Thank you. Any customer outreach reports, if any?
Yes, Mr. Semelford. We have not conducted any in-person outreach events. However, we continue to definitely follow up with any customer inquiries that are received either through the Transit Accessibility Center, the Office of ADA Policy and Planning, as well as Metro Access.
Okay, on that, we're going to move to our next agenda item while you're still here. Are there any recipients for the Michael Wilson Award or the AAC Metro Access Safety Award?
Yes, sir. I am happy to present Mr. Stuart Austin. He's the Assistant General Manager with Challenger Transportation to tell the committee about the recognition awards for this afternoon. Stuart?
Thank you, and good evening or good afternoon at this point. I'd like to recognize Mr. Benza Ben Mansour. He's our operator who's been with us since October 2018. He's been an outstanding operator. Come to the office daily, okay, constantly radiating us with his positive energy. And he has great relationships with his operators, and they respect him very well. He has a family of three children. He has a wonderful wife, comes from Algeria, moved here since, I guess, back in 2002. And in his spare time, he enjoys soccer, coaching, and spending a lot of time with his family. Since he's been with us, he's had no accidents, no incidents, no personal customer service complaints, received numerous commendations from customers. He loves to go the extra mile with them. He has indicated to me that, that's one of his major things that he loves to do is really service his customers. He says he really, really enjoys his job. It's one of the things he wanted to let me know. And he's never been late. Always he comes to work early. He's never refused a route. I mean, he's just been outstanding since he's been with us. He's very dedicated, servicing our customers and community. And for this reason, we do want to recognize him for the AAC Metro Access Safety Award and also the Michael Wilson Award. So thank you, Mr. Buza Ben Mansour. And he is online with us right now.
Thank you.
All right. I think that concludes our award presentation. We want to extend our sincere congratulations to Mr. Ben Mansour on this great twofer recognition this afternoon.
Thank you so much. Congratulations to him. Next, I guess we're going to have our eligibility presentation with Mr. Colbert.
All right, thank you, Mr. Semelford. This is Chris Colbert, for any who do not know me. Not a whole lot of things to share other than the prospective date that we're moving and the location. Most of our operations are gonna remain the same as we go to the new building. But the things that I can tell you, right now our anticipated move-in date is Monday, March 14th. Where all of the eligibility staff will be relocated to the new headquarters building at Lafont Plaza. That new location does have a separate address from the main headquarters building, at least for the customer-facing location. I can give you the address of the new HQ, which is 377th Street Southwest. I cannot give you the address to the new customer facing location as of yet, because we're still finalizing those details. The nearest corner to our new customer facing office is going to be 7th Street and Virginia Avenue Southwest. Our address will be a Virginia Avenue address, so I can confirm that. Our space has been meticulously looked at as throughout the planning process between myself and my team, and also ADAP office, as far as accessibility and just general usability within the space, to make sure that things are running as efficiently as possible. The nearest metro station is obviously Lafont Plaza. There is an entrance at D Street between 6th and 7th Street Southwest, an escalator entrance that is closest to our office. And there is an elevator entrance located at the southwest corner DOT courtyard. And that is, I believe that is on 7th Street as well. It is approximately 500 feet or about 1/10 of a mile from our customer facing location, as opposed to the current elevator entrance at Gallery Place Chinatown, which is 2/10 of a mile from our current location. So it will actually be closer as far as elevator access. As far as our current operations, as many of you know, we are not seeing customers in person still because of our COVID operations. We are actively receiving applications by email, mail, and fax as needed by the customer. We are processing replacement cards by phone, mail, and email, and mailing those out to customers as needed. Once we move, we do anticipate eventually moving back to seeing customers in person, resuming our in-person assessments. I cannot tell you what the time frame is of that. I can tell you it will be after we move. but depending on what the pandemic looks like in, you know, a month or what have you, that's very much a moving target for us right now. But rest assured that once we do make that final decision and have a firm date in place to resume our regular operations, we will make sure to let you all know. After we do resume in-person assessments, we do expect to be able to continue receiving applications the way we have been the last 2 years via email and fax for customers who do not require a functional assessment in order to be determined eligible for Metro access. So for those of you who have gone through our eligibility process before, what that will look like moving forward will be more, like the recertification process that many of you have experienced, where you call in, receive an application from us, and then just send it to a specific person in order to be processed. So we're hoping to make that move, you know, despite seeing customers in person, just to help expedite those processes for our customers. I think those are the main bullet points that I have. I do see Phil Posner's hand up.
Of course, I have questions too.
Okay, and I guess, I'll let you guys handle the order for that, but I guess it's open to the floor now.
Okay, I'm going to go first, and then I see Phil's hand, and then Anu will tell me whoever else is going after Phil. So my first question is, when you move to this new pace and determine when it's safe with COVID protocols and everything, will y'all be able to do some of the normal assessment types of things y'all did, like take the customer out if it's safe and needed to assess their abilities and travel abilities on the nearest subway? Will the new space have the opportunities, like I've seen in other systems, to have the room and capacity to have simulations of doing bus and train, so you can assess them indoors if it's not safe to have them, to take them outside. Also, my next question has to do with the replacement of the cards. I know in the past y'all been, within 21 days make the decision, but usually the ID cards went out, much quicker. I know with the current situation with the mail, y'all have said it might take up to 3 weeks, even when it's mailed out. I guess I want to get an understanding. Is it 3 weeks with the decision, or is it 3 weeks, in terms of mailing, it'll take 3 weeks for you to receive the card, and the fact that I just want to get clarification on that. And if and for customers, if they can use, I think we discussed their personal state ID, especially their renewing customers, and they already know from other means that they've been renewed, can still ride if it's expired. Those are my questions.
Okay. As far as the assessments, once we resume, they will resume going into the system, since we are, close to a Metro Rail station. So we will be doing that as normal. As far as anything done indoors, I can tell you that we did not build out in any indoor simulations. And just due to the information that we have available, we haven't been able to put together an indoor course in those instances where we have adverse weather. That will be one of the first things that we tackle once we do move into the building. As a result, I can pretty safely say that we won't be resuming before the end of March. I'm 100% certain of that. as to after that, that's a different story, again, because of COVID protocols and not knowing where we'll be in a month or two. As far as IDs are concerned, I can tell you that Metro Access does plan to, if they haven't already, to remind their operators again about being able to accept state-issued ID cards for customers, since we do still have so many customers who are receiving automatic extensions, and of course that does not translate to the ID card. So we'll be issuing another reminder about that if that hasn't already been done. Regarding the time frame, We are supposed to have the determination made within 21 calendar days. Ideally, the customer would have that information in their hands within that 21-day period as well. But, unfortunately, there have been challenges with getting mail out and receiving mail because we have different schedules, because we are in the process of a move. Sometimes it's taking a little bit longer for things first to get to us via mail from the post office through our mail room to our office, and then to go back out of our office through the mailroom to the post office and then to you guys.
Chris, Mr. Colbert, you're explaining, and that's fair, the logistical challenges we're facing. But to be clear, I mean, to answer from the consumer standpoint, that's kind of our indoor baseball talk. But from the consumer standpoint, I want the AEC and the public listening, until things get back to normal, presumptive eligibility is going to remain in place. There will be a crossover between presumptive eligibility and totally back to normal. And all of that is not in our control. Mr. Colbert's mentioning the post office, Mr. Colbert's mentioning just being able to get into the building. When is that gonna open? So there will still be presumptive eligibility as we're clearing the backlog of customers who need functional assessments. So the day functional assessments begin does not necessarily mean it's the day presumptive eligibility ends. We will allow the time necessary to catch up, if you will, and there'll be no rush to that. So the logistical challenges are not going to stop anyone who is eligible from using Metro Access if they apply for it until we get a chance to give them a functional assessment and clear the entire backlog.
Thank you. Phil, you can go ahead next. And then New will tell me anyone else that have questions.
Yes, thank you. Christopher, thank you. All of my cards have arrived. And rather than a question, it's sort of a preparedness suggestion. La Fonplata is a wonderful location for travel training. And you will probably have a good 3 to 4 months before anything like that happens. But making a video to be posted on the WMATA YouTube channel and or on the website of the L'Enfant Plaza complex as to how one might go back and forth, including the cattle chute of taking the elevators to change lines and things, might be something very valuable. Because otherwise getting out of L'Enfant Plaza, depending which exit you're lucky or unlucky enough to take out, and whether you came on an orange, blue, green, yellow, red, purple, or blue line, because the blue line will probably go there at some point, you might get lost. So doing a video, and it should give the YouTube video folks 4 or 5 months to put one together, and I think that would be great. And also to make certain, and I'm sure Ms. Lopez will make certain, that there will be accessible bathrooms near the accessibility office.
Yeah, I did not point that out in this, but our new space does actually have 2 accessible restrooms, complete with water fountains outside within our waiting area. So for those of you who have visited our office and had to receive an escort to get to our restrooms because they're in restricted areas, that is one thing that we will be able to move away from in the new building, thankfully.
Thank you.
And thank you for the recommendation about the video. We'll certainly look into that too.
New, is there anyone else that has questions about the eligibility here before we move on to the next topics?
Yes, Chair Summerford, Ms. Rush just raised her hand. Vice Chair Rush. Ms. Rush, go ahead and unmute yourself. Go ahead.
This is Ms. Rush. What about parking? Is there any parking? The last time I was down there, I think there wasn't. Is there? Or there's going to be a designated drop-off point or to attend the meetings?
As far as I know, within the building, I do not believe that there will be any parking or designated parking. We will have drop-off location outside of the Transit Accessibility Center that I believe will be able to hold at least 3 or 4 vehicles. I know there is street parking. I'm not sure if you're asking specifically for Metro Access vehicles or personal vehicles.
Available street parking?
There is some street parking around the building. I know there is on the Virginia Avenue side. And I want to say there is on D Street as well. Although my memory is just a little fuzzy. It's been a little while since I've walked around it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. All right. So next we're going to move. I'm going to take, is it okay, Mr. Blake, since everything else is on you, me and Ms. Rush, I'm going to take Ms. Anderson's presentation ahead of you, and then I'll just go with the series with you. Ms. Anderson, are you ready to give your presentation?
I am.
Go ahead.
So again, the Metro Access Automated System Adjustments. So during the January 2022 Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, committee member Ms. Vanessa Coles had recommended that the time entry for data input in the EasyPay phone system be reviewed. She had received a customer report that there was not enough time for consumers to enter in their information and it would time out. So Metro Access reviewed the input time entry parameters for both the Instant Access and EasyPay systems. Adjustments were made to both systems to extend the initial time for customers to begin input of their customer ID and password information, as well as within the EasyPay system, the entering of their payment information there, more times than not the credit card. Myself, as well as Ms. Coles, performed tests on both systems and experienced the slowdown to input information with no problem. So I think I saw Ms. Coles on here. Ms. Coles, would you like to make any further comments about what you experienced with the change?
Alert, audio yes. Now unmuted.
Thank you so much, Ms. Allison, for including me in your discovery. And I have absolutely seen a difference, especially with the putting in of so many numbers for the credit card, because I can do it fast, but people who are not moving as fast as I do were definitely having problems. So that has definitely been an adjustment. So thank you so much for that.
I can attest to it too, because I've played with it myself, adding money for EasyPay online. Definitely a pretty much improvement across the board for everyone to make it more accessible to them and not feel frustrated.
Yes.
Great. So we definitely want to thank Ms. Coles for bringing this to our attention and for her advocacy on this particular topic. If there are no questions or other questions or comments, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you so much, Ms. Anderson. Next topic, the next two, Mr. Blake made mentions about specific things and committee members did not hear it when I was talking to them, so I want him to repeat them. So the first was about Metro Access vans and sedan procurement. He stated, I believe it's the last Metro Access meeting, that after this current procurement of vans and sedans, if I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, it will be at least 3 years before there'll be another major purchase.
No, not quite.
Okay, so that's why. You said it during the meeting, and then people asked me, oh, he said there's not going to be any more. I said, I want him to repeat that again because that was important information.
Yes, sir. So Metro Access purchased vehicles all the time. Now, there's been some gaps in some years, like this year has been a gap because of circumstances beyond the Department of Access Services control. But generally speaking, we buy vans and we buy vehicles on an annual basis. I think what we were talking about is that this year, Metro is going to add 50 more sedans. They'll be Toyota Camrys, just like the current ones. We had another solicitation, and there'll be 50 more sedans added to the fleet. There will not be any more sedans purchased for another 3 years. Sedans, because we have to use the current ones up. We usually keep a vehicle for 4 years, and 4 years or 150,000 miles. My goal is to keep the sedans maybe a year or two longer, because they should be able to be used a little longer, and the fuel efficiency and all that kind of good stuff. But we'll see about that. But after this last delivery, the sedans won't come back up for solicitation until 3 years from now. In the meantime, we are purchasing minivans. They're going to look somewhat, not look like the MV1s you had here before, but we're going to have minivans, and we're still working to get the solicitation for the new big van, the van that's going to replace the bulk of the Ford Transit vehicles. And so each year there'll be purchases of those vehicles as well in an orderly fashion. So we had anticipated purchasing 100 new big vans this year. When I say this year, we're talking fiscal year, so I thought we would have them before July 1st. That's not going to happen. I thought we would have the minivans before July 1st, so that's not going to happen. So now we're aiming before the end of the calendar year for those vehicles. But each year, unless there's some delays or other things that's beyond our control and Department of Access Services, there generally is every year more purchases, but there's not always a new solicitation, because we purchase vehicles in terms of an amount, and those amounts are delivered over a course of time. So the main thing, just closing on this thing, and I can take some questions, but the main thing to know is before July 1st, there should be 50 more sedans. And again, they'll look like the sedans we currently have. And then we'll be moving on to purchasing the minivans, and then eventually the new next generation big van that you've seen the presentations on.
So you heard that, committee members? Any questions before I go for the repeat about fares?
Chair Samerford, this is, I know Ms. Rush raised her hand. Ms. Rush, go ahead and unmute yourself, please, and make your comment.
So you're saying we're going to get minivans similar to the MV1s first, and then we're going to try to replace the cargo vans with passenger vans?
Okay, so as the minivans come on board, they're going to replace some of the cargo vans, as you call them. I'm not even referring to that. But yes, they'll be replacing some of those cargo vans, and the big vans will replace other ones of those cargo vans as well. So the cargo vans are coming out of service as new vehicles are going in.
And we're really not going to have to duck our heads, and we're going to be able to sit straight?
That's our goal. That is absolutely the goal, and that's one of the reasons part of this. Well, again, we still thought we would be getting some new vans before the end of this fiscal year, but one of the reasons that kind of slowed things down is that we are really determined to get a comfortable vehicle to the greatest extent possible. And initial discussions and initial proposals did not really reach that goal. So we're trying to make sure they're clear on what we want, and they can bring to us the type of vehicle that will accommodate individuals with size, but also provide comfort to all passengers on the vehicle, whether size is an issue for them or not.
And the church says amen.
Anyone else as it relates to the vans?
Chair Samaford, this is Anna. We do not have any other hands up.
Okay, next we're going to Metro Access Fares. So last month, Mr. Blake did mention when there was not as many committee members there, so that's why I want to make sure it's repeated. Another important announcement about the Metro Access Fares. If the board makes a decision to go ahead to have like flat fares, for instance, we've seen on the weekends where most of our fares, you know, remain at the $4, consistent for what the fares are doing. Now, with weeknights after 9 o'clock, Mr. Blake did say that your fare might be different because Metro Access is running a 24-hour 7 service. So I'm going to let Mr. Blake expound on that because I want that to be repeated. When people come back and say, well, my fare should be, you know, $4 or flat after 9 o'clock because that's what the board decided to do with bus and rail.
Okay, so the update I was giving last month, and it ended much sooner than I anticipated, or otherwise I may not even give the update. If you all recall, shortly after the spike in COVID cases due to the Omicron variant, Metro Bus scaled back service. And by scaling back their service, but we, Metro Access, did not, I was giving an upfront warning that fares being charged on Metro Access may not reflect what you see in the trip planner because Metro Bus was limiting its service where Metro Access was not. However, Metro Bus has now gone back to their full regular schedule. So that disparity should go away. So that part is over. That part is over. We should go back to being able to see a fare on the trip planner, multiply that by 2, and then you know what your fare is on Metro Access. And if there is a disparity, you could always write to me or Ms. Anderson, and we'll do what we call a fare investigation. Now, in terms of the flat fare, the fare right now on the weekends is a flat $2 for bus and rail. That means all trips, not most, but all trips on Metro Access on the weekends are flat $4, all trips. If the board moves to say all trips on Metro is $2 after 9 p.m., then all trips on Metro Access will be $4 after 9 p.m. as well. We will reflect what the board states. Going to what the AAC has been advocating for, during the recent budget hearings, and budget proposal, the Metro Access full-time flat fare of twice the bus fare was not included. Okay, that means you have to continue to advocate. But I can tell you internally, we are also discussing with our colleagues the concept of the flat fare. But since it wasn't part of the board presentation, if a flat fare comes up for Metro Access, it may be deemed a pilot program. And you know how we love pilot. If it comes up, it may be deemed a pilot program, which means while it's not written in stone, there will be a time period in which we will have the flat fare and it may have to wait until the next round of budget hearings to become permanent. So that's what I'm discussing with some of our colleagues. But right now, the concept of a Metro Access flat fare, aside from whatever the fixed route fare is not on the table because it wasn't part of the budget hearings. But that doesn't mean the idea of trying to get a Metro Access flat fare is gone for good. But right now, flat fare on the weekends, and we'll see what final fare proposals come out after the budget hearings. And in addition to staff discussing with colleagues, what about a pilot, if you will, just to see how that would work?
Thank you. Any questions from AAC members about this specific topic?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Phil, and Anu will tell me if there's any other people.
Yes, just as an update, knowing how much we love to give alternatives to the board on things, in addition to what their Blake has just said, which is absolutely correct, for the 2023 budget, we were advocating for an approvable flat fare 24/7 that is sustainable. But in the alternative, if they choose to continue calculating fares for Metro Access, we said it did not have to be twice the full fare on bus and rail, and reminded them that everybody on Metro Access has a disability. And therefore, at the worst, it should be twice the disability fare. But because the ADA also says it can be charged up to twice the comparable fare on bus rail. It says up to, but not at. And so we suggested once again that Metro calculate what they consider to be sustainable. And that could be 1.5 times, 1.2 times the disability fare on the comparable route. But we agreed it should be sustainable, meet Federal Transit Authority guidelines and ADA guidelines. And that's the comment that we have had with several of the board members in private conversations and at the hearings, and I will be presenting Thursday in our report to the board. But all this will not occur until the new budget year, which will be in June, 1st of June. So just an update, and everything Mr. Blake said for now is absolutely perfect and correct. And just keep your fingers crossed and pray that nothing worse happens than people stepping in front of the trains at L'Enfant Plaza or being shot at Capitol South or being shot in Capitol Heights or whatever. And that Congress doesn't do anything awful. They've been pretty good at the hearings. So that's it. I've had my 2 minutes. Thank you.
And I see Vanessa Cole's hand next, if that's correct, Manu.
That is correct, yes.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, thank you. So for me, that flat rate actually raises, I used to get $250 just to go to my local gym. So now I have to pay $4, one or $8 round trip as opposed to $5 round trip because of the flat rate. So why can't we at least keep, you know, whatever rate that got me to $250, that the way it do it, they do it that way, that got me to
$250. That's something Ms. Anderson and I are gonna have to go back and look at. Let me see what we can do, because yeah, I never saw a fare that low. I'm not doubting what you're saying, because the system could give you
anything. I don't want to tell myself. I mean, I don't get it anymore anyway. So.
No, I got you. But let me see how that was possible and determine what.
And it was doing it week two, because before I started working, I went to the gym around 10 o'clock and I got $250. I got a $250 rate, and that was for.
So to intercede,
maybe you were on that special list, Ms. Rush used to tell me about that. I have to stop.
Oh, Mr. Blake, that's probably because of the bus in Prince George's County. She may have gotten the $250 rate.
If I can explain the history and discussion from the minutes of the AAC, it was pointed out that any flat rate was going to increase the fare of a percentage of the population which currently pays the minimum rate, which is twice the bus. It will reduce the fare of people that are paying the maximum rate. And currently, two-thirds of the people are paying $250 to $275. Okay. One-third are paying $750, $650. And then the average is $475. So to go to a flat fare, because we felt as a committee, and that was the vote, that an understandable fare that you knew 24/7, wherever you went, whatever the time of the day, whatever day of the week, you knew what that fare was going to be, was going to be worth the fact that you might be paying more. While right. same thing.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I may add, though, and I hear you on that, but I remember this conversation. I need you help my memory.
Yeah.
The key is, if the trip that Ms. Coles is taking, if the fastest fixed route equivalent trip is the bus, then theoretically her fare should be lower. But it can't just be because there's a bus there. It has to be clear that the bus is the fastest fixed route equivalent, so that even if there's a flat fare, per the law, we would make sure that you're charged only up to twice the fastest fare. And if the fastest fare is $125, then her fare should be $250, even on the weekends today. So I need to go back with Ms. Anderson, and I need to verify that a particular trip that Ms. Coles would take, or any customer, quite frankly, if the bus is in fact the fastest fixed route fare, then we will make those adjustments as required.
Like I saw the other day, which was strange for me in DC, and I figured, oh, it must be the internal bus. I had a fare of $2 from one location to DC to another that was a mile away from each other. And I figured, oh, it must be that DC bus, $1 and double that. I saw that, which is rare.
But because of the possible combinations of time and date, whatever, nobody will have any idea when they leave the house, how much it's going to cost them to come back. And that was the whole idea of people complained. They didn't know how to save. They didn't know how much money they had to have. And so, yes, you give a little, you get a little. And the general input that we got in all of our meetings from members and from the public was, they wanted to know what their fare was going to be. Otherwise, we're going to have a complaint every week. I took the same trip on Tuesday as I did on Wednesday, and it cost more on Wednesday than it did on Tuesday. It cost me more to come home than it cost me to go. I left 15 minutes later, and it cost more than when I left 15 minutes earlier. And nobody wants to go back to the fare calculator. So that's why we are advocating for a sustainable, fair, flat fare. And I apologize to Vanessa if she has to pay a little more, but she's giving it up for the good of the whole.
Thank you.
Thanks for that clarification. And we're still going to go back and investigate, but now I'm clear on what you're saying. The committee actually supported that.
And that's fine. I'll take one for the team.
Thank you. Mr. Blake, you're up next about update on shared rides. I'll let you.
Okay. Shared rides have continued to be very low last week. Last week, shared rides were less than a quarter of 1%. We did have 2% of shared rides and trips that were shared rides that Monday. Was that the Monday after the Super Bowl?
I thought it was on pause until the end of February to start again in March. That's what I was hoping to hear from you, but okay, go ahead.
No. Let's be because very clear. So Metro Access has initiated, beginning on Christmas Day. I'm trying to get that on the screen. I don't know if you guys can see me, but I can't see you.
Yeah, and I remember you said that, and then it might go towards the end of January, maybe the end of February. And that's right, what I began to see. Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Let me be clear what we did. On Christmas Day, we went back to a strategy of direct trips, but not a policy of direct trips. And what that means is, back during the pandemic, we had a policy of direct trips and no shared rides. That means you should not have been in any Metro Access vehicle with another Metro Access customer unless that customer was riding with you as your PCA. That's the only reason more than one Metro Access registered customer were in the same vehicle at the same time. Then we went to shared rides on November 1st. Because of Omicron, we went to a strategy of direct trips, which means we were going to book all trips as direct trips and only have shared rides in urgent cases. And that's how our percentage of shared rides dropped to less than, it was at 0.3%. And again, last week, mostly it was 0.25%, meaning less than 1% of trips. But we did have a day, and that was an example. It was the day, if I'm not mistaken, it was the day after the Super Bowl. I don't know what happened. Maybe there were a lot of upset. Who lost that game? I can't remember who played. Cincinnati fans in Missouri. I don't know. Maybe they moved from Cincinnati to. But we had a lot of challenges that morning and into the afternoon. So that day, there were a lot of urgent trip movements that needed to take place, and that resulted in 2%. 2%, still a very, very small amount, probably less than most major public paratransit service agencies in the nation. But on that one particular day, we had 2% of our trips were shared rides. But since that day, we've been back to our normal direct trip scheduling strategy, and there's been very, very few, hardly any shared rides on Metro Access.
And what is the expectation right now, looking at science and everything else, the strategy is going to last?
I did say it was going to stay at least until the end of February, but right now, I don't see that changing anytime soon. Let's put it that way. I don't want to give a date certain. I'm pretty comfortable in saying we're probably not going to go back to a full-scale shared ride before the end of March. So if you want to take it 1 month at a time, we probably could do that. But I think I'm pretty comfortable that here we are, February 22nd, 2022. I doubt very seriously if on March 1st we're going to go back to a full-scale shared ride. So I would say taking it a month at a time, this strategy that we're utilizing will last at least until the end of March.
Okay, that's fair. Any questions for any committee members?
Chair Summerford, this is, and we have no hands up.
Wow, okay. Okay. All right, I'm going to move on to the next topic. You're the crickets. Okay. So next is my question about abilities, right? Actually, it's one thing, Mr. Blake, is from my experience, and it's been, you know, pretty better these days, using, you know, when trips are late, and I'm going to go with the statistics, trips that are more than 20 minutes excessively late, what guidelines have you given the call center in terms of using, you know, things like Uber? Because there have been times where I've had late trips that has been, you know, past 30, 40 minutes before I'm going back and forth before they will give me that. And there's some they will give me off the bat. They will call me and say, hey, a trip is going to be 36 minutes late, an hour late. Would you prefer taking an Uber? I'm not talking about for things 5 or 10 minutes late, because, you know, there's a variety of factors that y'all take into consideration for doing that. But, you know, there was like one or two cases where I'm like, this is going on for 30 minutes and you're still trying to wait for the vehicle to arrive and y'all have other resources. So I want to get a sense out of you on this topic.
Chair Samuelford, this is, and if I may just interrupt for a quick second. There is a request from the ASL interpreters. They're asking if non-presenting participants could turn off their video. The bandwidth is freezing the interpreters.
Okay.
So, thank you.
So, to answer your question,
I would hope that you would want to, you know, that would help, you know, one, I would like to see customers, you know, if the trips are I'm going to go with the statistics and say excessively late. Let's start with 20 minutes past the window. We want to get the moving and not having to, you know, sit there, wait, be frustrated and all that.
So I'm going to give Ms. Ridgeway from MV a few minutes to get her thoughts together while I stall for her so she can get her thoughts together. But my anticipation has been, yes, there'll be some trips that are already late and they should reach out to customers and offer them the option of moving to another provider, i.e. Uber. But my main desire and goal is if we see a trip that's projected to be late, they should be reaching out to customers to avoid the negative experience altogether. So if that's not happening, that is a problem, especially when we have resources available. So I will now turn to, because that is what my anticipation is. The point of having all these resources on the street, having all these vans that and sedans that outnumber really our demand, plus the third party alternatives, if a customer wishes to allow their trip to be moved to a non-paratransit company, we should utilize that. And I know you're one of the ones who would gladly volunteer a lot of your trips to the third party. So that should be occurring before your trip is actually late.
And I will say they have reached out to me with, you know, extremely late trips like that, or, you know, I've called after the 30-minute window, and, you know, some have been up front and say, okay, can we offer you an Uber, or I just see the text already, especially if it's late at, you know, night, that type of thing to get me moving. But there's been a few cases where I've been going, you know, even 30 minutes, 20 or 30 minutes past the window, back and forth with the, you know, the usual thing, speak to a supervisor, and they're still like, we want to still wait for the driver and give them a chance. I'm like, so I'm just asking.
So at this point, let's turn to Ms. Nicole Ridgeway, who is the head of the local MV team as part of the Metro Access contract. And let's find out from her what it is that she believes her team's understanding of utilizing third parties to hopefully, one, avoid excessively late trips, but then when the trip is in fact excessively late, how much are we having to feel the need to negotiate and hold off the customer before helping a customer move to a third party if they so desire?
Thank you, Mr. Blake, and thank you, Mr. Semaphore. Good afternoon, actually good evening, everyone. My name is Nicole Ridgeway, and I'm the project manager with MV Transportation. And it is my understanding, as Mr. Blake had just described, that we try to be proactive with regards to utilizing third party Uber, for example, for these types of trips. Excessively late has been a target of ours specifically, and we have been driving those numbers down. It is right now, I believe it's still above the benchmark, but we are driving this down. It's less than 1.5% of all trips. I would be more than happy, Mr. Semaphore, to speak with you directly to see, you know, what those service failures were in those instances that you said that it was already 30 minutes past the window, because we do try to avoid those at all costs. But as I mentioned, my understanding and our practice is exactly how Mr. Blake described.
Yeah, because I know the usual procedure is, you know, talk to the agent, I wait my 30 minutes, and, you know, if it's 5 or 10 minutes late, that's fine, not a problem, I'll sit there and wait. But as the time is ticking and you tell me that, and then it's getting close to that benchmark of excessively late 20, what are we doing here? And then I, you know, speak to another staff member. Now, I know the supervisors who have, you know, if they approve it, it has to be done by mostly a supervisor, but there's also been other staff right there are able to do it. And then some, I guess, maybe they feel they're hesitant and can't do it. I don't know that situation. But when the times are getting past 20, we want to get the customer moving.
Absolutely. And we're in agreement. And like I said, these numbers were in low double digits at one point. But now, like I said, it's less than 1.5%. We're trying to drive that down. Less than 1%. So if zero would be the ultimate as far as excessively late are concerned. But again, if you'd like for me to reach out directly to you on those specific issues so that we could investigate, I would be more than happy to do so.
Because I see from our monthly statistics that we got, you know, the goal is less than 0.75. And of course, exactly. For December 2021, it's 1.49. So I know mm-hmm. y'all hopefully will, as you're saying, trying to get to that downward trend mm-hmm. to get under and, to the goal.
Yeah, and it is a downward trend at the moment. Like I said, a couple of months ago, it was probably, you know, like I said, low double digits, maybe 10 or 11%. But we've been, you know, really targeting this to drive those numbers down. And it does help that we can utilize these third parties to, you know, get people picked up on time when we see that it's projected to run late, whether it's, you know, just, you know, late within the 20 minutes or if it's excessively late beyond the 20 minutes.
Thank you. Any questions from committee members? All right.
I do not see any hands up, Chair Sanford.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next topic for Mr. Blake is, the MAX navigation system. Ms. Rush, you're on with Mr. Blake. You had a question for about an update on that.
Previously, I've asked, have they tried to locate the difficult areas that they needed to get to, and I would like an update.
Yes, ma'am. In fact, Ms. Terrian Williams-Hall should be on to provide an update specifically about an address you're familiar with. So, Ms. Williams-Hall, without giving out the address, I mean, do you want to give the update of just what we were doing here?
So over the last week or so, we sent at least one driver out with the Garmin device.
Terrian, time off for a second. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's just me, but your audio is not coming through that strongly. It sounds kind of something. I'm not sure. Can you say another? Say something, please. There seems to be some kind of feedback. I'm not sure, and it's not coming in. So I'll just go real quick then. But thank you, though. Yeah, I'm not sure. But what Ms. Williams-Hall was going to share is that she led a, we've been having good experience with the Garmin devices. That's overall. So we're moving forward with that, and we found that the real-time traffic through HD radio signals is working throughout the Metro Access Service area. And what we did just last Thursday, one day last week, early last week, I lost track of the day.
I saw the driver out front.
Oh, look at you. We can't get another pass here, man.
Gotta watch it with both my blind eyes.
I know that's right, man. Okay, well, we did take a trip to your home. Unannounced, we didn't want to startle you, but I guess we can't get nothing past you. But the report from the driver is that the directions were excellent. There were no troubles getting to your home. As you know, I have a pretty nice car with a so-called top-of-the-line navigation, and I had a little bit of challenge with my own personal vehicle that day I came to your home. But this driver reported no problems whatsoever. He found it without any issues. And we believe that the end, in fact, he was describing how not only the turn by turn, but it gave good imagery for the driver to make sure they're going and have arrived at the right location. So while an experiment to just one customer's home does not prove that it's perfect beyond any measure, we were very, especially following my own personal experience with my own personal guidance system, given the exceptional results, according to the driver, using the Garmin device, we're very pleased and we believe we found a solution that's gonna take care of the vast majority of our customers moving forward.
Thank you so much. Question, While we're talking about the garments, I know Ms. Williams Hall gave an update, I guess because of the pandemic. There's been sort of a delay, correct me if I'm wrong, with installing in all the vehicles. What is the update on that so far and getting them all installed?
We're working on it.
I'm just asking, so, that's all.
Yeah, we're working on it. I would call it a delay, yes, because we wanted it by now. We thought they'd be here by now. Our colleagues are trying very hard to get the devices for us. And as soon as we can get them, and I even told them, we don't need all of them at one time. It would be nice to just outfit the whole fleet at one time. But if because of supply chains or whatever the case may be, blockades and all this other stuff that's going on this continent and in this nation, if we can get 20 at a time, we'll take it. If we get 30 at a time, we'll take it. We just want to go ahead and begin the process. So we've said at this point, we want as many as they can get their hands on, and it doesn't have to be a full order at one time. And hopefully that'll get more and more of our vehicles outfitted with the Garmin devices using high definition real-time traffic.
Thank you. Any questions about this topic from any of the committee members?
Chair Summerford, this is Anu. I do not see anybody's hands up at this point.
All right. We're going to go ahead with public comments since we are done with everything else. Are there any persons present, Anu, with public comment? And do you want to give your spiel about it in statement before we begin?
Sure. I have received no chat messages about any member of the public making any comments during this section. Public who would like to make any comments. We did have an email from a member of the public, and that email was shared with the AAC leadership. I would like to share information as far as how anyone looking to make comments in writing or by leaving a message on their phone message can do so. Our email address is metroaacchair@wmata.com. That is M-E-T like Tom, R-O-A-A-C. CHAIR@WMATA.com. Anyone can send us an email. And the phone number is 202-962-1100. If anybody calls, they can leave a message and we will contact them at our earliest. That was my announcement for public comments, Chair Summerford. Thank you.
Okay, so there's no one else for public comment here.
I see Ms. Rush just raised her hand.
Go ahead, Ms. Rush, and as a reminder, everyone has 3 minutes. Go ahead, Ms. Rush. Is she still muted?
Just as a reminder, as Chair Summerford said, everybody doing public comments would have 3 minutes. Before 3 minutes and approximately 30 seconds ahead of time, I would announce 30 seconds. And at the end of 3 minutes, you would hear a sound buzzer. Ms. Rush, you are you're off of mute, so please go ahead.
Okay, this is Denise Rush. One item, do we have a opening on the committee? Because Mr. Elder Arisa Silver, we haven't heard from him in quite a while, but he has been appointed by the president. And so is he still on the committee?
Well, let me start with that question. And that's a very fair question. And at the AAC meeting, I plan to initiate a discussion about Metro staff how do I put this, taking more of its more natural assumed role of monitoring and enforcing the attendance policy. And we're going to have an extended recruitment period in terms of new members, rather to replace Mr. Elvar Riza Silva or other members in vacancies. So what we're going to do, we have some time here. I'm going to precede my comments from the next meeting, but we're going to ask individuals who are interested in serving on the AAC to attend at least two meetings, a full committee meeting and a subcommittee meeting prior to our appointment cycle. We're going to create a spreadsheet that outlines everyone's attendance, those who are in violation of the attendance policy per the AAC bylaws will be informed. I don't want to say warned, but you will be informed that your membership is in jeopardy and ask, are you still interested in being a part of this very important body? Because we do need to hear from a multitude of people with varying disabilities so that we as staff can do our job effectively. So yes, Metro staff is going to step up. I don't want to necessarily answer your question directly on Mr. Elvar Riza Silva, because we're going to address this with everyone at the same time in terms of the clock is beginning. Here is your attendance. We're willing to be forgiving, if you will, but what is your interest on being on this committee if your attendance is this lacking? And so you're going to see more of staff stepping up with the enforcement of that aspect of the bylaws. And we're going to try to really make this recruiting cycle a much more effective one at identifying people who are willing to make the commitment to attend these meetings, not only once they're appointed, but actually prior to being appointed. That's going to become somewhat of a requirement, because they've got to see that just being appointed and getting the initial recognition is not that their appointment is all about. So I didn't answer your question about Mr. Silva at this moment, though he is still on the committee, but he, like others, may be removed from the committee as we get ready to engage in another round of recruitment. And also, just one last thing I'll say, hey, I make mistakes like everyone else. I thought giving more of the recruitment powers, if you will, to fellow members of the AAC. You all are in the community. You all know a lot of individuals. You know what would make a good committee member. We thought stepping back would help create a better committee. I think you all have done the best you can, but I believe this round staff needs to step in more and be more assertive in terms of the recruitment process to ensure that we are very, very clear with current as well as new prospective members as to their duties if they want to be appointed to this committee. And that starts first and foremost with their simple attendance.
Also, Mr. Blake, with this recruitment cycle, the current committee members be allowed, as in past many years ago, assist in the interview process? Once this recruitment period is over, and your interview.
Yeah, I don't think I want to just, I think.
Particularly of new members, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's still a role, yes. So I don't see that changing, but the final decision is going to be much more in the hands of staff after a deep, significant analysis and assessment of the individuals, and a little less in the hands of the actual committee. There was a couple of years where we just kind of said, AAC member, who do you recommend? We accept it. We're taking your words. But now we're going to do a lot more assessment of attendance, as well as, again, their understanding of their commitment to being on this committee. And that's for new members as well as existing members.
Thank you. Ms. Rush, did you have any other questions about that?
Yes, one more thing. We did receive an email of comments from Mr. Torres. And I want to say on record, he was on point. We might not agree with everything he says a lot of times or his presentation, but what he sent to the committee must be acknowledged.
For those who don't have or didn't see an email or anything, do you want to summarize for your committee members what you feel he was advocating?
It was pretty lengthy. My 3 minutes would be over. But about the fares and being treated fairly, and it was just too lengthy. I hope that, well, the committee members will see it and read it.
It will be appended to the minutes, so the entire committee can read it on the minutes. If they don't want to read it, they mimicked his comments at the hearings that he attended, and those are online on YouTube. So any member of the committee, and I recommend it because the comments were on point.
So Phil, and I wanted to ask of you if we, how can we do this? Can we move this to for discussion after Anu sends it to the rest of the committee for your next AAC meeting?
Well, it will be discussed at our next AAC meeting when we approve the minutes.
Okay.
And when we are approving the minutes, Tino has already asked that, and I told him, what I'll tell everybody here, is someone will say, oh, well, what about the addition to the minutes? And I will say, what about the addition to the minutes? And then we will have a discussion.
Go ahead, Ms. Rush.
Thanks. I'm finished.
Okay. All right. Then that will be that. Here's
some report. This is Vanessa has her hand up.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Yes.
And then I see Tino next.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. So yesterday I had a consumer to about a situation that she and her mother, who is scooter bound, horrible experience that they had. They both are Metro Access consumers. And she put in a complaint and she said that someone called her, but she missed the call and she never heard back from anyone as to what the resolution was. She said that she is blind and her mother's wheelchair bound. She's in her late 70s, early 80s, and the driver felt threatened. They had some conversation and they did not get their trip. They also mentioned his, how he approached them when they were trying to figure out who he was there for. And his comment to her was that some names are hard to pronounce, so he didn't call out their name. And it was in an apartment complex, so they had other people in the lobby waiting. But it was pretty lengthy. She didn't get a ride, and even the dispatchers said that they canceled her trip. She did say use foul language, one curse word to him. And because of that, he felt threatened and he refused to board her. And he was putting her safety belt on outside. He had his sweater wrapped around his mouth for his protection. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. So I would like somebody to follow up on that to see what the outcome, because it seemed like some training needed to be had. And what is considered a threat? Because the lady was in a scooter and she said a curse word to him because she had an appointment time and he had wasted a lot of time asking them questions. And so what is considered to be a threat?
I'm going to let Ms. Williams Hall talk about abusive behavior policy or any other staff, Ms. Anderson.
Can you guys hear me?
You're echoing Ms. Williams Hall. At least that's what I hear.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But the threat is on a case by case basis. I mean, if you tell me somebody's in a wheelchair and they have a visual disability, even if they say a four letter word, and how much of a threat is that? I can't judge that at the moment. And there is no single measure for a threat. So I wouldn't focus so much on the threat, but if Ms. Coles can provide Ms. Anderson or myself the name of the customer, I mean, that's the first step. I mean, I can't really do anything without knowing who the customer is and then going back to that particular trip and investigating from the phone call to any notes that's in the system. So we'll start there, but for her general question, what is a threat? There is no single definition of a threat. And sometimes that's just in the state of mind of the other person, be it the driver or the customer. So we just have to look at each case on a case by case basis and determine where there's fault, if any. And yes, if the driver was at fault, retraining is certainly called for. And in cases where the driver is at fault in an even more egregious manner than being described, other discipline is available as well, up to termination. So, but I'm not making a decision on that. Let's just find out who the customer is. We'll find out the date and time of the trip and do a thorough investigation.
Thank okay. you. I was hoping that she would be in attendance, so apparently not. I invited her to come to tell her story.
See other hands. I see Mr. Mangrum, and then followed by Ms. Rush.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is Mr. Mangrum. NIH is doing a lot of construction work on 102 Irving Street, so I'll be going over there to take care of some business and whatnot. I go over there on a regular. And the drivers don't seem to know where to drop us off because they're doing construction. So they got to drop us off at a certain spot and pick us up at that same spot. Me and a few others, we still having problems with the drivers going to the wrong location. So that could be helpful for us to be able to get our rides and whatnot. Let's see, I sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Mangum, it is my understanding as I look at staff, I know at the Washington Hospital Center, there are road students there full time, if that's still there. I'm hopefully, as they speak to it, we'll talk to them and employ them to investigate that situation to come to some kind of safe resolution. Go ahead, staff.
Well, I can tell you, I do recognize the challenge he's facing. We're having the same issue, even with drivers who are abilities ride providers. There's a lot of construction, as he says, going on there. I'm not making excuses, and I hear what you're saying, Mr. Mangrum. Some days it seems like one day the driver can go in one direction, the next day that seems to be closed off. This is what I'm hearing just from the abilities ride side. So I'm sure the Metro Access drivers are struggling as well. Full-time, since we've been able to reduce the number, the demand, and then by using abilities ride, we've been able to reduce the number of vehicles that get stuck up there, if you will. I don't know if we still have full-time road supervision support there. But what I can do is talk with Ms. Williams Hall after this meeting, and maybe for the next couple of days, maybe just have some road supervisors go up there to help inform Metro Access drivers, but also provide myself information that we can then share on the Abilities Ride side as to the best way to navigate in and out of the Washington Hospital Center complex. Because right now it has been a challenge for drivers in general due to all the construction. So I hear Mr. Mangrum, he's absolutely correct. And we'll try to be more aggressive in figuring out how to get people in and out of there.
Hey, Ms. Rush, I say you're next, and then I see Tino's hand.
This is Ms. Rush again. Mr. Blake, your reply to Vanessa about you need to see here what happened, that's valid. And the driver may have felt that he was threatened, but it's a two-way street. The driver shouldn't curse at the customer, and the customer shouldn't curse at the driver. The customer should go in the house and call her a B, not in right to her face. We both are due the same respect. So seeing who the customer is doesn't resolve it. You have to find out what happened. But regardless, if the customer or the driver cursed, it's unacceptable both ways.
Well, we definitely agree on that. Yeah, you got to say something. We just say go in the house. I like your description of it, but yes, we agree. There should be mutual respect on all sides.
Correct. So that's all I was saying. You were saying, well, we got to see the customer. Well, yeah, Ms. Rush did go in the house and call her whatever, but she didn't do it right in her face. And the driver and the customer are due. That's a two-way respect. Thank you.
Thank you. Tino?
I want to go back to Denise's first point, not with respect to the disrespect, but her bringing up recruitment. Christian, as you say, a fond farewell to Elver. Could you ask him if he has any recommendations of Latinos from the disability community? His departure and his absence over the past year or so has meant we haven't any.
I'm Matt. I was wondering if you had a minute to touch base on the vote. Said reply, close.
This is Anu. I would request everyone to keep themselves on mute unless speaking. This helps.
This is Mark Carr.
Patrick, are you trying to make any comments afterwards?
No.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Tina.
Am I on?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Christian, when you talk to Elver, ask him if he can recommend another Latino who's a senior or with a disability. We've been without input from the Hispanic community for as long as he's been absent, and we should have a Latino one, and maybe he can make a good recommendation. Thank you.
In this case, any kind of diversity also. But go ahead, Mr. Blake.
We will ask him, and again, as part of our overall recruitment and being more assertive in the recruitment process, we're going to do a general broad outreach as well, just as staff in general.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other hands from anyone else? Or maybe we can get an adjournment.
Eric Semaford, this is Anu. I do not see any other hands up at this point.
All right. Can I make a motion then to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, aye.
Nays, abstention. Okay, the motion carries. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Short and sweet.
Can't believe you got all that stuff in under